The other day I had a thought, and I thought to myself, and then I expressed it to my wife. I said, thinking about ideas is an important part of me. Then I thought, receiving ideas is an important part of me, which led me to the idea that this is an important part of me, or this part of me is important. This part of me is important. And I thought, I think that must be a very rare thought. I haven't thought that very frequently, and I wonder if other people think that thought. This part of me is important. Many of us were brought up with flaw thinking. Flaw thinking is the idea that our focus of attention is on flaws, mistakes, errors, deficiencies, and other things that might be undesirable or judged as bad or wrong. Weaknesses and mistakes and that sort of thing. Not recognizing that this part of us is important puts everybody and everything at a disadvantage. I'm in the process of reading and studying a group of letters called Christ's Letters, which are channeled information through a woman in South Africa. A link to their website is on my main page, so if you went to churchofthehealingspirit.org, same place that you would go to download this recording, I have a link to that website. And in the letters, Christ says, and it makes sense to me too when I think about this, and really in regard to these letters or any other information, what I find myself doing is evaluating the information and making decisions whether I find it to be valuable, actionable, in harmony with my values and what I believe to be our purposes on the planet. And I'm finding that to be so with the letters, although I've had them for about 10 days, maybe almost 2 weeks, and I'm on letter number 4 of the 9. So it takes some going to get your mind and your heart around these letters. But in it, Jesus talks about the fact that each one of us is an important connecting link in the whole of creation. I don't think that's typically how we see ourselves as being important to such a huge scale, but I think it's worth considering. And his point is that if any one of us is missing, we're absent from this structure, this, and we don't play the connecting part that we are designed to play, then the entire structure is weakened. And if I were to analogize this to, say, a building, or a team, for instance, and if there is a missing brick or weight-bearing or responsibility-bearing element absent, I could see how that whole structure would be disadvantaged. Very few of us, I think, realize that our existence is important to the whole of life on Earth. Maybe it's easier for us to see this concept, our value, our importance on a smaller scale, such as, I'm important to my family. I'm an important part to my friends. I'm an important part to my company. Baseball team, softball team, bowling team, women's group, etc. By extension, there's another image that comes up, and that is each of us become like the sun with celestial bodies, as the planets are sometimes referred to, or heavenly bodies. But these other beings, these other people, these other things are rotating or revolving around us. And we may be at sometimes the focal point and things seem to revolve around us, but other times we're like the planets revolving around somebody else who is functioning as the main element bringing coherence or congruence to a particular structure. Seeing how we fit in these varying orbits, whether they're at work, at home, in our social life, and elsewhere, is another way of how and why we're important parts. There's a child's toy or gadget that I've seen that consists of strands of fiber optic material, a handle, on and off switch, and maybe a compartment for a battery. And so what this thing is designed to do is you flick it on, and the light produced by the power of the battery shows up at the very tips of these colored strands of what appear to be plastic, but they're fiber optics. And so that at the very tips is where the light is the brightest. That's where the end is, where the light is, but in the use of fiber optics really as a conduit of information and light, as the name would indicate, this is how information gets moved through these channels called fiber optics, and at the receiving end, that something would be able to process that information. Regarding the child's toy, that light at the end of the fiber optics, I think we can draw a parallel between us and that tip at the end. If we look at our family tree, for instance, we could visualize that each of us is a strand for the purpose of carrying light. Now, we're a strand in this family tree. We're a branch, is how it's normally looked at when we talk about trees, or the fruit hanging off the branch is how we would think of that. But in terms of light carrying, we could see that we individually radiate light. And how do we do that? We do that according to our intention. We do that according to our level of awareness. As Christ says in his letters, no one can take our place in these strands that carry light out into the world. Now, unlike fiber optic strands, we, at the end of our particular strands in our families, we can branch off, and for those of us who have children, we could see our children as the branches off of our strand. But it doesn't just have to be children. There are other things that bear light besides our physical offspring. The structures that we create, for instance, can do this. We create businesses, that is, these structures for the organization of human energy. We create causes, the Red Cross and Mothers Against Drunk Driving and innumerable organizations are the result of people organizing their light carrying into the patterns that we call these types of organizations. Works of construction, like if we were going to build a building, that is a way to create structures and have our light shine in the world. Works of art, painting, books, and any other forms of art that we may be creating expresses that light. Our light carrying and our expressing are important parts of us. I can remember a scene from a movie that I watched when I was a child. I think the name of the movie was The Big Top. It was a movie about people involved in the trapeze act in a large circus. I think perhaps, if my memory serves, that Burt Lancaster was the star of that movie. There were a variety of concepts that I remember from that movie, one of which was trust. That is, the idea that a person could swing on a bar way up off the ground, let go of that bar, and trust that he was going to catch the hands, or the other person's hands were going to catch his when they were hanging from the bar by their knees. So having the trust to be able to let go of what we're holding on to and trust that we're going to be caught and supported is an amazing idea. And I think in life we get many opportunities to play both of those roles, the person who trusts and let go because we trust and expect to be caught and supported and made safe by the actions of another. That another can be a person, could be a system, could be a structure. Ultimately, it's going to be God. We could also be the second role that's demonstrated in that scene, and that is, we can be the one who other people are relying on to catch them, to keep them safe, to support them, to protect them. I think it's important for us to realize we are important enough to be helped by God and others, and we are important enough to help others. We can be an instrument, not only of light on that level, but of help, of nurturing, of caring, and support. In some science fiction movies, for instance, and I think I've actually heard this on Star Trek that I spoke about recently, and it's this phrase, the fabric of the universe. That phrase has been used. I think it's been used in, oh, there was a tear in the fabric of the universe, talking about time warps or something like that, or being able to go from one location to another through non-normal experiences, because there was a tear in the fabric of the universe. Well, if we were to just sit down right now and look at, you know, the fabric of the shirt or the slacks or any material in our environment right now, we could see that that fabric, that cloth, is woven of strands. I think we can think of ourselves as part of a strand in the fabric of the universe. What's the difference between a strong fabric and a fabric that tears easily? And the answer to that is simply, the strength of the strand is the difference. But then, the question is, what's the difference between a strong strand and one that breaks easily, like a weak link in a chain, for instance? And I'd say that the difference between the strand or the link is a difference in its consciousness. And I'm talking about people, I'm talking about consciousness as well. I think the difference is the consciousness and the willingness to hold on to the part of the strand or the chain that's in front of us or behind us, that came before us or who comes after us. And if you thought of a family, you could see what came before us were our parents and their parents and their parents' parents and so on. If we hold tight to that chain, to that link, to that part of the strand that came before us, we're going to be stronger. And if we hold on and stay connected to the parts that come after us, our children, grandchildren, siblings, and so on, that off to the side, we're going to have a stronger strand. We're going to be stronger. When we don't get connected mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and stay connected, we weaken ourselves, we weaken the fabric of our families, the fabric of our community, of our society, and the fabric of the world and the universe. So anybody can imagine the idea of the fabric of our families. There are a relatively small number of people to consider, so I think it makes it a lot easier to get our heads around that, you know, parents and grandparents and maybe an extended family and siblings and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and so on. But if we think of our part of the family fabric and we think of ourselves, how are we going to do that? We're going to think of ourselves as physically first. For instance, it could be easy to think of ourselves in terms of birth order, where we fall in the link. And we would think of ourselves, because a lot of emphasis put on this, our gender. For example, for myself, I could say that I was the fifth out of seven children. So, you can see that. I was also the second male in the family. The first male was number four out of seven. So you can quickly see that the first three children in my family of origin were my sisters, followed by my brother, then me. And there was a number six, and there was another seven. And I can add them to the list. Number six was my sister Anne. Number seven was my brother George. So that's how I look at that strand in our family of origin. If I only wanted to talk about our sequencing and our genders, that's a real simple way to look at it. But that's kind of like looking at a piece of fabric and identifying that, oh, yep, there are pink and there's blue in that fabric. Kind of limited. What is more important in terms of my siblings and I as individuals, more than our gender, more than our sequence in the biological chain, if you will, is how much joy we produce for ourselves in how we connect our behaviors. So if we are able to connect our behaviors to the production of joy, number one, for ourselves, and as a natural result of that is going to produce results of joy for other people to whom we're connected. Now, joy to me is different than happiness, and it's certainly different than pleasure. Pleasure you can get from piece of cake, chocolate cake, ice cream, bottle of beer, or watching your favorite team win a game. But I'm talking about something different. But joy is a different vibration. It's deeper, and it's something we deliver to ourselves, in my opinion. I would say that the joy of connectedness can only be experienced by way of the feelings of being connected to the other people in our strands. Some people take the point of view that we're actually individuals, we're isolated, we're small, we're insignificant, we're just little teeny dots of consciousness, if they even give us credit for being dots of consciousness. In this image, in this scenario, in this kind of limited viewpoint, we're said to be free-floating, alone, maybe kind of like flotsam or jetsam bouncing on the ocean, being subjected to the impact of energies. We're exposed to the whims or the accidents of currents and bashed around by water and waves. That seems weird to me. I don't believe that's true. Now, I'm willing to give us credit for being dots of consciousness and also lines of consciousness. Because we're dots, we have this self-awareness, but because we're lines of consciousness, we can extend our energy outward. So if I were talking about pixels and pictures, I'd say, number one, we're both a pixel, a dot, as well as the whole picture. People that believe in the holograms and the holographic universe would say that the whole of the universe is within every element of the universe. So each pixel actually contains the seed for the entire universe. If we were only physical beings, the only way we could connect to another physical being is to be in physical contact. We wouldn't have any other way to do it because we would totally be physical. So we could hold hands, that would be a physical contact. We could hug, we could make love, we could cuddle, we could wrestle, we could fight hand to hand, we could choke another person, etc. Whole range of ways we connect physically to other people. And you can see by that whole range that I just elaborated on, the half a dozen different behaviors, some of those are designed to strengthen the connection, and some of those activities are designed to destroy the connection. But because we're not only physical beings, we have other ways to connect ourselves to other people and to other things. Another important part of us is our emotional capacity. So not only are we physical, we're emotional beings. So emotions such as love, compassion, happiness, generosity, make connecting to others easy and rewarding because of the harmony of those energies. And it makes it easier for other people to connect to us because we're not threatening. So they don't have this instinctual need to survive by putting up walls between us, separating them from us, because we're exuding higher vibrations, energy. That makes it easier, safer, more desirable for them to connect to us and us to them. On the other hand, emotions such as fear or anger, if we don't upgrade those pretty quickly, those emotions, by the way, I think can serve us, but you can't really live there. It's not a place to live. It's designed to be experienced short term. Use it, interpret it for whatever it means. Fear could be interpreted as get more information. And then anger is, to me, an emotion of stop, S-T-O-P, stop. And so we need to know what it is we're trying to stop. Oftentimes, it really is the behavior demonstrated by somebody else that we do on our own that we don't like. So instead of stopping it in ourselves, we notice it in somebody else and it makes us angry. It triggers our bad feelings about ourselves, so we want to stop it in another person, whereas really the root of it is within ourselves. But those angers, if we don't upgrade them quickly, they become the really powerful forces of separation. If we start adding anger and fear and other lower vibration energies to the fabric of our families, we can recognize that the family unit starts to come apart at the seams. The same is true in communities, and the same is true of our society. Now, you can look at the TV programs that then radio programs of the negative propagandists. These people are basically hate mongers who use their opinions to spin tales of fear and hate, which really weaken the fabric of society generally. But the purpose that they have in mind is to weaken society generally, but strengthen certain elements of it by the consolidation of power and influence. So these people are cleverly manipulating the rest of us for our disadvantage. As we get weakened, as we take what they say at face value, while they gain greater control and power. But if you listen to it, you recognize very short order. This is anything but Christian. It's anything but Christ-like. It's anything but healthy to buy into the 6 o'clock news. Because the 6 o'clock news, to me, and you have to look at it, isn't it a loom of gloom? If I want to stay with the weaving material metaphor, it's a weaver of fear, a designer of depression. If it's not those things, I don't know what it is. Some people would say it's a wake-up call. It's a false alarm. It's a false alarm. Our emotions are important parts of us. We need to understand and care for them, and not to be oblivious to the attempts of others to soil or manipulate or misdirect our emotions. And the misdirection often comes by telling us who the enemy is. Let me tell you who the enemy is. Anybody who's telling you who the enemy is, it's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Including me. I think what we really have to do is, somebody said, let me tell you about the enemies. And if we're eager to hear about the enemies, we're missing the point. We have things internal to us that believe in enemies, that don't believe in love, but believe in fear and hate and anger and death and destruction. And if we've got that stuff, we are carrying the seeds of the enemy within. Another part of us are our mental capabilities. In America and a lot of countries, education is hyper-marketed. But to me, education is an industry. It's really an industry. Learning, on the other hand, is different. So education is a manufacturing industry where you manufacture degrees and letters after your name and imaginary credentials that will, in fact, open very real doors to you if you have those credentials, whereas if you don't have those credentials, you can't get admitted to certain areas of life. But more important than the industry of education is the act of learning. Education is somebody else's job. Learning is your job. And my job is every individual's job. The more we learn, the more we learn about ourselves, the more we learn about others, the more we will connect to ourselves and find ourselves worthy and deserving of connection, and the more we will want to connect to others and find them worthy of connections. For people who think it's safer and better to build walls around their minds, their emotions, and their bodies, they're in for an unpleasant harvest. This idea that if we protect ourselves, if we think of defenses, if we think in terms of walls and weaponry and separating ourselves from other people, we are feeding our own fears, and those fears have an amazing appetite. And as they get fed, they get stronger and bigger and more powerful. And so those fears will drive us to try to control other things to the point where control is fatal. I've literally seen people die from control because it chokes off their own life force. Let me mention ignorance. Ignorance is not the same thing as stupidity. Ignorance is just the absence of information. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing, but it can be corrected by the presence of information. So ignorance interferes with our intellectual capabilities and our connections to others and ourselves and the idea of being part of a whole. Because if we don't grasp that we're part of the whole, we see it's us against them. Them being other members of our family with whom we're competing, our neighbors with whom we're competing, people at the office with whom we're competing, other states, other countries that we're competing against, we disadvantage ourselves tremendously. Mentally, we're an important part of the whole. And when we know that, we extend our energy out, intellectual energy out, and the whole is made healthier and happier. In the fourth letter of Christ, and these letters are called Christ Returns, speaks his truth. He says that the highest goal that we could ever have is to understand and experience the reality behind and within all things. I'm going to repeat that. The highest goal we could ever have is to understand and experience the reality behind and within all things. That reality, called God by us generally and by other names, Allah and Jehovah and infinite intelligence and other names by other people, this reality, this God energy maintains, it gives, maintains, and sustains all individual being. I love that statement. I love that statement. Like, now you know what you're doing. You're seeking to understand and experience God, which is behind and within all things. That's a nice life purpose. And as we learn how to extend ourselves spiritually, it's the same thing as learning to know ourselves as an important part of the spiritual fabric that gives, maintains, and sustains us and what we believe. If we're experiencing anything other than what we want, our beliefs are making it so. If we're experiencing everything we want, our beliefs make it so. I like this image. Our beliefs are like the alchemists working in the spirit realm on our behalf. They're creating what we've been focusing on, what we believe in, as if we have issued commands to them to give us those things. And we get what we ordered. If we ordered through our thoughts, and we have, and our feelings and our actions, and if we've used and we've been standing in lower vibration energy when we've placed those orders through our thoughts, feelings, and actions, we're going to receive lower vibration energies placed into our experiences as a natural outcome to that creative act. If we've sown higher vibration energies like seeds of love and compassion, lightheartedness and generosity, we're going to harvest huge crops of the same. Let me go back to the idea of seeking to understand and experience the reality of God behind and within all things. If your refrigerator freezer could think, don't you imagine that after doing a few things, it would want to know more? For instance, one of the first things it would want to know after it explores its own gadgetry and its characteristics, you know, its physical structure, for instance, and its design, don't you think it would want to know the nature of the power that gives it life? Flowing as it does in the refrigerator freezer scenario from the wall through its electrical cord into the heart of the appliance? Don't you think it would want to know about this power behind and within its life? I think that as individuals, after we're done exploring being fascinated with our own gadgetry, both body-wise and as well as those things that we invent, you know, the latest and the greatest devices and all of that. The most important part of us is that part which both wants us to understand and experience the reality that we call God and to recognize that we are an important part in the fabric of this reality that we call God. We need to understand and experience it, and this way, to be fully part of it. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the Creator in connection to all that is, thank you for our expanding awareness of our relationship with you, our connectedness, our importance in you and you in us. Help us to connect not only to you, but in things that you're expressing through other people, other things, ideas, other energy patterns that we see in our day-to-day life. Help us to connect in love to each and everything. Help us to expand our awareness so we're willing to do that, we recognize the importance of it, and that this part of us that seeks connection to become part of the whole is the most important part of us. Thank you for that gift. It is so. Amen. Thank you.